kind of flip to the side, though.
It won't hurt, I think. It picks up pretty easily. They're pretty sensitive. Okay. What I wanted to do when we started off in the interview was to talk to you about, at first, what you know of your own family history. Do you know anything about your grandparents?
Yes, I do. I know even about my great-grandmother.
Okay. Well, you can start with your great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother, I'll never forget my mother. Grandmother was, it's on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me that when she was a little girl, she was 9 years old when the slaves were freed, and her mother was named Nancy. But my grandfather was named Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
And he went by his own name. He didn't use the master's name like a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was working as a carpenter. He was a carpenter during the slavery time, and he did all the building around the plantation, and seemed to have been a very good one, because he was working, and he had saved up enough money to buy his freedom, and he was working, and he had half enough to buy his wife's freedom, and then he was going to buy his little girl's freedom, which was my grandmother. But then it came along and freed the slaves, so then he didn't have to buy them. And he took that money and bought, I think it was 70, give or take, acres of land right off of the plantation. And that's where they lived. He built them a house, and then they farmed that little 70 acres. And when the slaves freed, the master's wife told my great-grandmother, which was Nancy, she says, "Nancy, now you come in the house and you get you some of the dishes and things, because you're going to have to be keeping house of your own, and I want you to have something that you is familiar with." So she gave her certain things. And she told her to go out in the yard and get you some flowers, because you'll have to have flowers to go in your house also. So she went out in the yard and she got some of the flowers, and two of the flowers was a narcissus and jonquils. So those little flowers was in the yard, and I saw them for years and years. It's where you walk up pathway, there was the narcissus and the jonquil, and I wasn't very interested in it. But about 15 years ago, I got a bright idea that wasn't such a bad idea. I think I'll go back home and get some of those little flowers in grandmother's yard, and I'll bring them here, and I'll plant them in my yard. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone gave me, see that little white, it's a little white bowl, it's round, right there in the corner, like on the top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
She gave my grandmother that thing, and she says, "Here, Nancy, here's a butter dish, and when we get through, I want you to pick it up and look at it." And that's what she gave my grandmother. That's, and a lot of other things she gave her. So I still have it. So that thing is over 100 years old.
Passed down through
from one family to the other. It was my great-grandmother. She gave it to her girl, which was my grandmother. Then my father was next, and then I'm next.
Mm-hmm.
Then that girl is next, and the little baby.
Mm-hmm.
So the little baby, if she wants it, she'll still have it to look at.
Where was the plantation?
This was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the plantation was Leandra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there today. It's still standing there. And every so often when I go home, I go by and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I even have some pictures of it, and I'll show you them next time you come.
Okay.
And then from that place, we stayed there as children. So I never knew what it was like to be a sharecropper.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been on welfare. So you hear about the sad stories about how people was cheated and had to work so hard. We didn't have to work so hard, because we had a place of our own, and so we just let it take care of us the best we could. And then my father died when I was, must have been four or five, something like that. Then my mother was a widow for a year and a half, something like that, and she married another man. And this man was working at a little college not too far from there, but this college wasn't too far from where the first plantation, but there was another plantation that was Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And they, those two men, those two white men, they was either kin by blood or marriage. I can't remember. It's too far back, and I can't ask anybody how it now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when the slaves was freed, he had this little college over there, and he didn't care too much about it. There were some white people who did not like slavery, believe you me, but they was more or less forced into it. And a lot of people said, well, why don't you walk away? You know as well as I know, you can't walk away from everything all the time as well as you please. So he says, the Negroes had to go to school. He said they should be educated. That was the first thing he said, and you know a lot of people even against that today. Mm-hmm. So he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give this school to the Negroes and let them have it. He gave his plantation to the Negroes, part of it, not all of it, and said they can build them a school here and this and that and the other. And to this very day, that school is the largest land-grant college in the world, not the United States. Mm-hmm. So it's still holding its own. It's not a bad college. It needs lots of improvement, but it is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And that's where I went to school most of the time. It's Prairie View State College.
Mm-hmm. Now, when this was your great-grandfather's Crawford.
Yes.
That had been the carpenter.
Yes, had been the carpenter.
He got the 70 acres, and that was your family's from that.
That's right.
Is it still in
It's still in the family's name.
Uh-huh. Now that was your father's father?
Yeah, my father's father.
Uh-huh. Do you know when your father was born? Or?
My father, 1875.
1875, uh-huh.
Yes.
And, his last name was Crawford?
Williams.
Williams,
okay. See, that was the daughter, so she married a Williams.
Right, okay, I see. And that was, so, okay, I mixed up. The daughter, Nancy?
No, her name was Fanny.
Okay. Nancy was married to?
Crawford.
Crawford.
And Fanny was married, but was Nancy's daughter.
Uh-huh.
She was married to Williams.
I see.
And out of that reunion, I think it must have been 9 or 10 children. My father was the oldest boy.
I see. Okay. So, Mr. Williams, who married Fanny.
Yes.
Was your grandfather?
That's right, my grandfather. And uh-huh. Crawford, I can't think of his first name. Mm-hmm. I really forgotten it. Well, that was my great-grandfather, see.
Mm-hmm. I see. So your grandfather Williams, do you know his first name?
Edward.
Edward. Okay, so Edward Williams and married Fanny. And
yeah, that thing name was Bill. He just named himself. He says, this is what he said about himself. He was a slave boy during slavery time. And I think he must have been, judging from what my mama said about him, he must have been 15, 16 or less than that. He was a bad boy. He was a roustabout. He just didn't want to be a slave, and he just kept running away and doing this and that and the other. And I really don't know where he came from, but the way they would do them when they were so bad and they couldn't handle them, they would put them up on the block and ship them down to somewhere in Louisiana where they put them on those farms and things, and it was nothing there but a bunch of boys. And then they had nothing to do but work. But my grandfather was such a rebellious person, I guess is what you'd call him, until he just wouldn't stay. He just kept running away. Mm-hmm. And he just kept running away with his life, and he just managed to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he left Louisiana somewhere and drifted into Texas,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't too far, you know,
mm-hmm.
give or take. So then he drifted up in there somehow and then ran into my grandmother and married her.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was the only living child that this Crawford had.
Mm-hmm.
She had a brother, but he died in infancy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the one girl.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what Nancy did on the plantation during the first
year? Well, she worked in the house, as they said.
Mm-hmm.
They say she was a part Indian, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we are from a family of long-haired people, and we do have high cheekbones.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have had some in her, I mm-hmm. guess, because we did have long hair as a child. I
mm-hmm.
remember having a lot of long hair, and all my cousins and things had,
mm-hmm.
had long hair.
So then.
So she did work. She was a very good worker. Very good. She was an inside worker, as you would call it. She did not work in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have. I think she must have sewed, or she must have cooked, or she had the inside things, because my grandmother had some of her things that was left there. How I wish I had them today. She had a spinning wheel.
Mm-hmm.
and to spin the yarn, you know, and make the socks she could knit and sew, and they made their even cotton stuff they made. I remember them talking about that. They had some kind of way they made the cotton, mm-hmm. made cut cloth into, took the cotton and made cloth out of it and worked it from that point, and they did the wool the same way. And she must have had some kind of a background of medicine in that somewhere, because my grandmother supposedly called herself a, or they called him a granny, mm-hmm. and her granny was a sort of a semi-nurse like, and she believed in a lot of herbs, mm-hmm. and she was called herself doctoring on people, and she always delivered babies, mm-hmm. my grandmother did, my mm-hmm. father's mother. Mm-hmm. So I remember a lot of the things that my mama told me that she used to use for medicine and how it worked. And my father had polio when he was, see, my father was born there in 1875, so you know how long ago that's been. Mm-hmm. And you remember him talking about Sister Kennedy in Australia, how she would work with people with polio. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mother saying the same thing, that my father had polio as a baby. And my grandmother cured him with it, and she used the same method that Sister Kennedy used, and she didn't know anything about Sister Kennedy. She just working there at home. I remember they said they used to take the sheep, and you know how you cut the hair off the sheep, the wool off the sheep, and then you had the little thing that you caught it with like that, and then you put it on the spinning wheel and spin it, and that was what she used. She took that type of wool, and they put it in the hot water, and then she put it on you, your body, you know, that, mm-hmm. and that's what seemed to have cured the people with polio. Mm-hmm. So my father came out with just a limp. One foot was about a half an inch shorter than, one leg mm-hmm. was a half an inch shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. So that was all the bad part he came up with.
But she had done all the work on him herself.
Yeah, she worked on him herself, no doctor. Mm-hmm. Because you know how that is in those olden days, you didn't have a doctor. Mm-hmm. And from a little small town where we came from, I just really and truly don't remember. There was never a colored doctor, a black doctor in my little hometown. There was one over there at college, mm-hmm. which we went to often. But as far as a black one in the town, mm-hmm. it wasn't one. So I guess we had to go to the white one.
Mm-hmm. Did, when you were growing up, then you grew up in the same place that your great grandfather.
Yeah, I sure did. And my mother worked for this lady. My mother didn't come from this same group of people. My mother lived further down, but her four parents, I don't know too much about them because she doesn't know too much about them herself. But she said they was cousins to the ones up there where my grandmother lived. So the white people was almost like the Negroes. They was, if they wasn't kin by marriage, they was kin by blood. Mm-hmm. So they were sort of the same kin in that somehow or the other. Mm-hmm. So my mother came up there to live with my father when she got married. My mother was a very light-skinned woman. She was almost but not quite as light as my grandbaby. Mm-hmm. So, and you see how dark I am because my father was dark. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things I didn't know so much about. I didn't know a lot about prejudice and segregation, so because a lot of times I would always go to town with this white woman, and I would just tag right along with her. And everybody knew in this little small town, they knew I was Lucy's baby, which was my mother's name, mm-hmm. and they knew that Lucy worked for this woman named Mrs. Harris. So I just tag along with her, and I just got all the good treatment, so I didn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know when I found out it was a difference in color. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the difference, because when her children, her little nieces and things would come over to play, I was right there with them. Mm-hmm. And I would get on the horse and ride right with them, and I would ride the horse with her husband. If he would go in out somewhere, go to the mailbox, and I would jump on and ride in the front, on the saddle, you know, or either I'd ride on the back, and I don't see how I survived, but I did, you know, and I was never treated mean.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of this little town?
It was a little small little town where we really lived was Hempstead, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But the town where I sort of lived in, I moved a little further over when my father died to this little college to Prairie View, Texas. It was Prairie View, Texas then, but it's not anymore. I think it just phased out. But that was where I lived. So as a child, I think I had a pretty happy childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady thought so much of my mama, and she treated us fairly good, but it could have been a lot of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But she bought us toys and things. And I always remember that any time a person will buy you a toy, that's something to play with. That is not something to use to make a living with. I always thought that was nice. I'll show you some of the toys she bought me.
Mm-hmm.
Next time. I still have them.
Uh-huh.
So I always thought it was nice that she always, you know, she always looked after me. I was the little girl, and a lot of times I didn't go home. I stayed at the big house. I just stayed there, and I don't see how I survived. And I slept right beside the fireplace at night to keep warm, and Mama said I was just like she left me when she left that night to go home to her little cottage to see after the other children. And she said when she come back the next morning, I would be right there. Sometime I'd have the same diaper on, and sometime I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you often think about white people not being nice to you, but that woman changed my diaper for me sometimes. She probably didn't have to, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
And nevertheless, I was her... My mama was a servant, so I said she changed the servant's baby's diaper for us, so I guess it couldn't have been too bad. I'm sure she must have gave me some milk or water or something sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I was running around there.
Now, when you were first brought up, you were saying that you don't know that much about your mother's...
No, I don't know much about my mother's people.
Do you know about when your mother was born?
And my mother was born in 1888.
Uh-huh. So she was a little younger?
Yeah, she was a little younger than my father.
Uh-huh.
And then her mother died when she was 5 or 6 years old, and her mother and father was not married.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it made it hard living with her, because her mother died, and then her mother had a sister, and her sister died. They all died around the same time, she said. I don't know what she said they died from, but you know, in those days, you could come up with a fever almost and just die.
Mm-hmm.
So then that made her kind of a wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
She had to wander around, and first one person took care of, and then another. But the lady that finally did end up with her was just somebody they knew, just the lady in the neighborhood that didn't have any children. So she took my mother in, and then she took my mother's cousin in, so she had the two girls there together.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother married my father, I think, when she was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
So from 16 on until about 30.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how old she, somewhere like that, that when my father died, then she was out on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 5 children of it, and I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
1 boy and 4 girls.
You're the youngest?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of the five.
Uh-huh. And now, what did your father do for a living?
A good question.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Much.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to have been farming, but he just, there's some men alike that he just got by doing a little bit of nothing.
Uh-huh.
And my mother more or less supported the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you talk about women liberation and how women go out to work. That black woman has worked all of her life, and she really was the first one to start out working and know how to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was forced on her, and she had to get out and go to work. So there was times when we wouldn't have anything to eat if Mama hadn't gone to work.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama went to work and supported us the best she could.
Mm-hmm.
After she married, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, she didn't stay married long because this man died. But he was buying a little place. And then my brother was about, he must have been 16 or maybe 17, something like that. And that made her inherit this place from the man that she was married to. And she owed a little bit, he owed a little bit more money on it. She worked around there and finished paying for it. Then my brother started to work in this college. And he must have started working in this college in 1926. Mm-hmm. I'll say 1926. That's when times were sure enough hard. You don't know anything about that, but that was the beginning of the Depression. It was started in 1918, tell you the truth, when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But then my brother went over there to work. And we had a nice house we were staying in. It was a very nice big house. That's why I like a big house today.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the big houses the white people had abandoned. And it was moving out of this little community like, so that's why they sold it to my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had us a nice house to stay in, and a little cows and a horse or something like that. So we managed. My brother was working at this college, so that kept us all through the Depression, all through the last of the 20s and the 30s, down to 38, I think it was, when we finally decided to break up housekeeping and go to the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like in your very young days, when you were living in the small town and your mother was working and your father was still alive, that were you living, did your family have a separate house?
Yes.
On that property?
Yeah, I had a separate little house. It wasn't much of a house. I think we used to call them shotgun houses. No, it wasn't exactly a shotgun. It had three, well, the first house, the house my grandfather built when he came out from slavery, it was a two-room house.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a dirt floor. Now, that was the house that I was born in.
Mm-hmm.
But the time I was born in it, my grandmother had built another house.
Mm-hmm.
And then that house sort of fell to my father and my mother. They staying in there. So that's where I was born, in the little house with the dirt floor.
Mm-hmm. Has your mother ever told you anything about the day you were born?
Or? Yes, it was a cold day. It was snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was extremely cold. And I was born at 12 noon, somewhere in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And she said I was awfully cold. It was so cold that, you know, she wasn't accustomed. See, down there where we live, very seldom it would snow.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular time, it snowed.
Mm-hmm.
She had worked that day, and she said the day before, and she felt pains at work, so she came on home. She must have worked about a mile and a half, give or take, something like that. So she said she felt so bad, so she came on home, and she didn't go back the next morning,
mm-hmm.
because she knew it must have been time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Was your great-grandmother who was...
No, Nancy was dead then.
Dead.
But my other grandma, Fanny, was mm-hmm. alive. She was the one that delivered me.
Mm-hmm. So Fanny delivered you? Did she also know the things about medicine?
Yes, she did. She was the one who knew about medicine, too. She told us a lot of things about it, and we still use some of the remedies today.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, just passed down from word to mouth.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things?
Oh, like things, make tea, go to the woods. You know how to go to the woods and get certain barks and certain weeds and what have you. Just like we used to, I remember there was no weed we used to always get when you have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
You go pull that thing up and rinse it off and chew it, and you could taste the quinine in it. And you know,
mm-hmm.
quinine has always been a good medicine
mm-hmm.
for a lot of things. But now, today, they've just about ruled out quinine.
Mm.
But we still use it, and we know how to make a salve out of first one something and then the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mother telling about when she came up to live, up there to live with them, they had lice in their hair. And Mama made a salve. She just went in the kitchen and found what was in the kitchen and rigged it up, and she made a salve to put on the lice in there. Everybody got rid of the lice out of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
So then there were so many. It's just any number of things, the medicine things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I should have copied them down before my mother died, but some of them I just remembered, so I just started that not too long ago myself to
mm-hmm.
keep up with them.
Mm-hmm. So you were born in the little house that had been your
great-great-grandfather, that's right.
And then you moved to this
to another little house on the same land, to my grandmother's land there.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I was 5 years old, about five, then that's when my mother married, and then she left there.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved farther away, about 4 miles, 3.5, 4 mm-hmm. miles away from there.
Did you, growing up, did you spend much time with your grandparents? Or?
Not too much, because my grandfather was already dead when I was born.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother died when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I did go around quite a bit, and my grandmother could sew. And she could sew a lot, and she knew how to operate that work, make that, take the sheep and get the wool from it and make the wool, and then she could make the thread from the yarn from the wool, and then she could knit the socks.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to do that, and she could crochet, and I learned to crochet. And then some of it, I just remembered the things that she did do, and I decided that I was going to do what my grandmother used to do, and I was going to do my best to excel in it, so I did. I learned to crochet. I'll show you that next time. I'll show you my crocheting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, and I love to sew. And I just decided I was just going to, you know, keep those things alive.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep them in the family and keep it alive. So I learned to sew myself. I can make most anything I want to make. I can cut if I want to. I either buy the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But I can get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the country. I like the farm. I always raise a garden. Right here, I have a garden out there. I'll show you that next time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have it together. So I tried to keep alive. My grandmother was, as I said, was born in slavery, but she could read and write because her master taught her to read and write. And you know, that used to be a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But she learned to read and write, so I wanted to keep that alive. My father, she taught him to read and write, even though he was born during freedom time, but you know, mm-hmm. still some of them didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to keep that thing going.
Mm-hmm. Let me make sure the tape doesn't run out. When you were growing up, you said that you were the youngest of
five. Yes.
Can you tell me your brothers and sisters' names and roughly when they were born? Or?
Yeah, my brother was named Cuny, and we all weird. He was born, let's see, in 1908,
mm-hmm.
I think. That's close enough. And my sister was born 1910. The next one was born 1912.
Mm-hmm.
Next one 1915. And I was born 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And the first girl is named Mamie. The second girl is Dora. And the third girl is Celestine.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Fanny Christine.
So you're named after your grandmother?
After my grandmother and a cousin.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like Fanny, so I used the Christine. I took it and said Tina.
Uh-huh.
So I everything now is Tina.
So you go by?
Go by Tina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we went to school.